Well, I have on the phone with me Jim Graff, pastor of, and help me with the name of the church. Is it Faith Family Church?
Faith Family Church.
In Victoria, Texas. And Jim, I want to talk to you today. You guys just went through what has to be one of the most challenging episodes of your pastoral ministry. You just went through Hurricane Harvey. And tell us a little bit about what that was like for your church, what it was like for you and your family. And just give us some thoughts on that whole episode. What did you learn from it? What did you guys do to minister to your community and your church?
Well, it sure is something you think you know what it'll be like until you go through it. And then it's definitely more emotional than what you thought it was even going to be. So the eye of the hurricane came through Victoria. That wasn't projected, but that's what happened. And because of that, there were a lot of people without power, without gas, without food. It was a pretty devastating situation. But fortunately, some groups came in with expertise, Convoy of Hope and Samaritan's Purse, and we as a church were able to rally the empathy and the gifts of God's people in the area. And so out of our parking lot, we were able to help 200,000 homes with 5 million pounds of food and supplies the first couple of weeks until everybody's power got on, everything got back to normal, which took 2 weeks in a lot of the outlying cities and small cities on the Texas coast. And in addition, we're in the process of cleaning up all the debris of about 1,000 homes right now, and we're going to rebuild as many homes as we possibly can.
Awesome. And Jim, what did you guys do? I mean, how from the time everybody knew Hurricane Harvey was coming up the Gulf, but at what point did you guys realize you were going to catch a major hit?
We probably didn't totally realize it until Friday night. We realized we were going to have significant wind, but the hurricane came further towards us than what we thought was going to come. We knew it was going to be significant, but not as significant as it ended up being. And it could have been even more significant if we had sustained more water damage. So we're grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. What did you do to minister to your people? What did you do to reach out to and encourage, help your people during this time, pastorally, as a pastor?
Yeah, the first thing we did was we had church. So the hurricane came through at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. And on Sunday morning, there was no power. We just had a small generator, had our praise and worship leader lead off his guitar in our fellowship hall. And we did both of our Sunday morning services. Yeah, we had about a tenth of the people that are normally there. But the tenth who came wanted to be there. They wanted to be loved. They wanted to be hugged. They wanted to be cared for. And then the next Wednesday night, we still didn't have power, and we had a service out in the parking lot, and we probably had two-thirds of our normal Wednesday night crowd. It was just a beautiful service. We talked about, you know, why things happen and how we're to respond when things like this happen, and we began to declare that there's going to be hope over Harvey, that after this hurricane's gone, people are going to remember how God's people flooded the region with love and hope long after the hurricane's gone.
Outstanding. So really two-thirds of the people on Wednesday night following, and a lot of the people still did not have electricity and things of that nature, you had to be pretty pleased with that turnout.
I was amazed, honestly. It was a beautiful service. We were out in the parking lot, and we had to quit before the sun went down. So we were just thanking God and praying for each other in little circles as the sun was going down. It was a beautiful experience, but I can't tell you how not beautiful the whole thing is because there's so much work to do to rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you had church in the parking lot, did you have chairs out there? People just stand?
We did. Our staff set up staging. They set up chairs. They did everything that was necessary to have that service.
Mm-hmm. What did you perceive to be the greatest needs of the people the Sunday morning and the Wednesday night? What was happening in their hearts? What did they need, and what did you minister to them?
I ministered out of Romans chapter 8 that the Bible says we also groan. And God says that the difference, in us is we understand why all this happens. We understand the earth has been under the stewardship of man for 6,000 years and that sin has creation groaning. And now it's our job as the children of God to bring hope and life to a groaning world. So we talked about how we groan, but we're going to bring life too. And then in Psalm 60, it says God shows his people desperate times. But during those desperate times, God raises up a banner to be unfurled at those desperate times. So our congregation, for the most part, made a decision that we were going to love each other through the crisis. We were going to create great memories through the crisis. And we were going to reach as many neighbors as we could through the crisis.
Jim, today is September 25th. What date was it that Harvey hit?
August 26th.
So we're 1 month away, basically, from that. What have you seen happen in the month? What have been your priorities as far as, checking, make sure people are safe? What has happened within the month? What have you guys been tangibly and practically doing during this time?
Well, we ask all of our small group leaders to check on all of our families. We're a large church, so it's very difficult for us to do that ourselves. In addition to that, we have, we've taken all the requests for people who need their homes rebuilt. So many of the 1,000 families that we're helping are our own families. We're in the process now of looking case by case into homes. And a very, very, very generous friend, Gerald Brooks, initiated a program to raise money to help us with families that need repair. And I can tell you, yesterday I was talking to the wife of a mayor of one of the small towns who had their home totally destroyed. So there's a lot to do, and we're going to be at this for a long time.
Okay. How do you begin to mobilize that, Jim? Because we're talking, great home damage, flooding, things of that nature. How do you find all the right people that are qualified to do that? Because, a lot of people would have a great heart to help, but they don't necessarily have the technical expertise to help. How do you coordinate all that?
Well, there are long-term relief agencies that do some of that and help you in the coordination. The challenging part is most of the time they go to large cities. And if you're in smaller cities like we are, it's very, very difficult to find help in the rebuilding process. We're grateful that Gerald Brooks is organizing teams and sending in people with expertise, and we're going to see how much that can take care of the problem. We're going to work in addition to that. If that doesn't, go far enough, we're talking about trying to organize our local Habitat for Humanity chapter and see what we can do in that regard. But we're definitely still we're not even in the middle of the process. A month into it. There's a lot of process still ahead.
Okay. We're really in an interesting time because we've had more than a normal amount of natural catastrophes happening. Right after Harvey, there was Irma. Maria just wiped out much of Puerto Rico, from what I understand. Mexico City just got hit by a large earthquake, I think 7.1. I've been in communication with Tim Rogers, the director of Rhema Mexico, about what they're doing to help people. Some of their ministers had homes destroyed and their own personal homes. And of course, people throughout the city suffered great loss. Let's say there's a guy sitting, a pastor up in Illinois. They haven't had any big disasters. And what do they need to be aware of? What can they do to help? How can they mobilize their congregation to partner with, people like you and churches in other parts of the world that have been affected? What do you say to the pastors who are in areas that have not been affected?
Well, Jesus, before they ever had their first church service on the day of Pentecost, said we're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I think a lot of pastors see that sequentially. They think that maybe if I ever get my Jerusalem strong enough, I'll make a difference in the other places of the world that really need us. But I would encourage them to see that we're to do that simultaneously, that our people are always to be involved locally, regionally, and globally with what's going on in the world. So mobilize your people to do that. We've been doing it for years. We've helped other places for years. And it brings the right kind of spirit to your church. It honestly makes your church more attractive to the community when they say that's a place that's really caring for the world well.
Mm-hmm. I've seen and watched here different churches. For example, many are focusing their efforts on the Harvey victims. I hate to use the word victims, but you know what I mean by that. Others are focusing on the Florida churches that have been affected and sending relief and help and support. What if somebody wanted to help you with what you're doing with the Harvey victims? What can they do? Where do they contact? What's the proper approach?
Yeah, if they will email me at jgraff@myffc.com at the church, then we will be in touch with them. We'll organize any teams that want to be involved. We're working hard to coordinate the effort. So if somebody has a heart, we'll work hard to make it a great experience for them.
Okay, that's jgraff, G-R-A-F-F, at FFC.
MyFFC.com.
Okay. Well, I hope some pastors will take you up on that and see what they can do to help you guys. I know you would be just as blessed if people also reach out to some of the churches in Florida or Puerto Rico or Mexico City. You know, God's going to lead different groups to help different areas of need. But Jim, I sure appreciate what you guys are doing. Two quick questions if we have time. Number one, what's this been like for you and Tamara and your immediate family? I know you've probably been on high adrenaline mode. You've probably been going very intensely for a month here. What's it been like for you? Have you been able to take time to get some rest and, you know, get some breaths yourself in this? What's it been like for Jim and Tamara?
But not yet. And my wife is scheduled to go to India Wednesday, and then I preach Sunday, and our weekend services Saturday and Sunday, and I join her in India. So we're going to, but we haven't had time to do that yet. And I think that, Tony, the one thing I'd encourage everybody is that my friends have meant the most to me during this time. I'm really grateful for the relief agencies because they keep databases of people who tend to go where the disasters are. And that's been a huge help. We probably had 7,000 people sign up with relief organizations to come from across America to come help us clean up our county. And that's huge. But in the end, it's much like a funeral or a death in the family. Everything comes at once, and then you're left with all of the long-term debris and difficulty to deal with. So I'd especially encourage pastors to help their friends and to be there long-term. And for Tamara, we're going to be good. God's given us a good family, and we're going to get this whole rest and work thing figured out here in a little bit. But you know, the adrenaline makes it easy. You know, it's been easy for me to do this month because you love people so much and you want to help.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, I hope everybody listening to this will take some time and pray for you, Tamara, all the pastors, because you're dealing with, you know, the pressure of all these many, many people, and some pastors are dealing with a lot of personal loss themselves, you know, like the Mexico City pastors that, you know, lost
and financial
homes.
Loss. I mean, you show up, and for us, we lost $68,000 in a week, you know, and then your people are trying to fix their home. So there's a lot of different ways it hits pastors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then you're dealing with the emotional challenges too that people are facing, trying to keep them built up and encouraged. And, you know, in some ways, many times just grieving with them. The Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice,
right.
Weep with those that weep. And so you're endeavoring to offer hope in the midst of that grief. Final question, and I'll let you go. I really appreciate your time. Is there a way to prepare for this kind of thing? I mean, you know, we don't expect this kind of thing to happen in our communities, but different communities do get hit with natural disasters and things like that. Is there a way reasonably to prepare? And what would you say about that?
No, we've been so blessed in Victoria not to have a major hurricane in my 28 years as pastor until now. And we all pray to live protected from things like this. But we also live in a world where things happen. And that's why we preach from Romans 8:28 about the present sufferings, and we groan too. Sometimes they happen. So for me, being a person who doesn't feel good evacuating when crisis happens because people are going to need me, you just have to prepare. And whatever your area naturally tells you to prepare for, I'd encourage pastors to prepare not as an act of lacking any kind of faith, but prepare as an act of, I want to be the one who's here for people.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Prudence, and also being, like you say, in a position to be able then to minister to people who have great need. Jim, let's give your email address one more time, jgraff@myffc.com. And then, Jim, what is your church website?
That is, if you go to myffc.com, that's the website.
Excellent. Well, Jim, I'm going to let you go. I know you're busy, and please give our love to Tamara. Tell her to have a great trip to India. You guys keep up the great, great work helping people in Victoria and beyond, and we love and appreciate you, Jim.
Well, Tony, thank you for who you've been to my family. Thank you for who you are to so many pastors here and around the world. We love you and highly esteem you so much, and thanks for letting people know about us.
Hey, Jim, you guys keep up the great work. God bless you.
Okay, blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye.